We weren't running late. We just decided to run that song long, right? That would mean playing it kind of in its entirety. Republic of Texas Radio, today's date is January the 22nd, 23. Yeah, run it long, I say. Well, that was Mike Church, You and I, right? That song, man, it's been around with me for a long time now. It was created here in Fredericksburg by Fredericksburgians, if that's actually a word. I don't know. And that's why I actually took it. Now, I didn't really take it. I asked for it. I said, hey, man, I want to use your song. Actually, I went hunting for a song. And I said, I need something that's not copyrighted, something that the artists actually wanted used. Something that they would don't mind me wearing out. And one of the things I said, I'm going to play this dang song until people are tired of hearing it. Is that okay with you? And he said, yeah. You know, I asked him, I said, well, hey, you know, we might not politically agree on a lot of things, and I want to use it as music for my show. Is that okay with you? And he said, yeah. And I haven't spoken to him now for 12 years, right? I think he lives in Austin. His name's Mike Church. The only place you can find this song is if you search for a guy named Mike Church on SoundCloud. You will find this song. I'm not too sure he's actively making music right now. I hear he has a family and, you know, everything's good with him, but I don't hear about him too much. But I do appreciate Mike and all the other musicians, Travis, Will, Josh, all you guys. I appreciate that little bit of time that you've given to me, us out here in cyberspace. Good morning, Allie. How are you?
Oh, my same jovial, jolly self here, Steve. Good morning, yeah. Guardian world.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easy to be jovial in these jovial times. You know, I look back to that time that I was just playing, you know, that the You and I song. What do you call that? Bar music? Is that what you call that, Alan?
Yeah, I would say yeah. That's kind of bar band music, kind of raw, you know, not really studio produced and everything. You know, Steve, it's really not too hard to laugh, and you know, in today's world, unfortunately, it's kind of like a maniacal, hysterical laughter that you do if you really understand what's going on. It's rather, you know, sadistically comical.
Yeah, it definitely is. And unfortunately, I can see too much. And that's why you got to laugh about it at times. Do you want to start comical? Do you want to start with toilets? I wanted to start with Lake Mead, but I don't know that I want to start there. I also wanted to start there with Texas Independence. So I'm kind of like all over the board this morning, but kind of, you know, in alignment with where we've been going the last few weeks.
I would like to hear about your, you and Andy's experience over there in, at the Texas National and meeting Mr. Krieger and everything. How was that?
That was really good. It was really good. Andy has been staying in my neck of the woods. You know, Alan and I live in Fredericksburg, Texas, but kind of Fredericksburg, Texas is in between me and Alan. That's fascinating, right? You know, I'm on one side, he's on the other, and we throw things at each other over Fredericksburg. No, we're not usually doing that, but we are on different sides of the world. In fact, it takes me about 45 minutes to get to Alan's house. And so Andy's been visiting us here in town, and he's been staying over at Alan's house, and I picked him up on Thursday, and we drove. I picked him up on Thursday because there was something that was going on down in a little place in Texas called Bernie. Right, it's a little bit bigger than, well, it's bigger than Fredericksburg. Let's just say that, right? And it's almost a city. It's a suburb type thing, right? Whatever.
It's basically almost San Antonio. Yeah.
It's almost San Antonio's a big old what the hell, right? But it's not like Austin. Austin's the oh my god, you're insane type thing. But Bernie's getting there, right? Fredericksburg will be there. Well, maybe yep. Never. I don't see that. We're a different kind of town, right, Alan?
Well, yeah, what used to be Fredericksburg is now San Francisco, so I mean we Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they're incorporate with San Antonio or not.
I don't know. It's like San Francisco dressed in a wine bottle. You know, it's just, you know, okay, before we go on to the adventures of Steve and Andy, let's just talk about yesterday. Andy and I were driving up and down the, the Wino Run, right? It's one strip of freeway, highway, whatever you want to call it. It goes down in front of my house, and I have to get on it all the time. And they're upgrading it so the winos can drive, well, kill each other less and kill the locals less. And they don't die too often, but they pretend that they die a lot. This has driven the wino bus industry. So everybody has a wino bus, right? There's hundreds of these things, and they call it touring. And they use these words like tour responsibly. Now, what the heck does that mean? Well, just be responsible. Can you be
don't get too drunk
English?
And beat your driver up.
Oh, Alan, going in using plain terms. Oh my God, huh? You know, chastise you. Don't tell winos what to do. I don't know. It's kind of hilarious, right? Some chick, you know. So, okay, we're driving into town, and I'm going, wow, there ain't very many people here. And Andy's all, there sure are a lot of wineries around here. And I go, yeah, and, well, you know, wait a year, you know, it'll come. But Andy, there really aren't that many winos out right now. You can tell by the traffic pressure, and I don't see a lot of wino buses. And he's like, and I'm like, see, one. And then we waited about a minute or two conversation, and another one comes by, and I'm like, see, we should be seeing all of them, right? One, two, three, four. And these guys put down like $100 a seat to sit in a bus that says drink responsibly. And they go out and they pull into a winery, flop down 20, 40, 60 bucks, and then get a couple shots of wine. Here, taste this. It tastes like wood or whatever the hell they do. And I mean, I'm just not there. Sorry, you guys can be winos. If you want, I totally support that. But this pompous, I didn't like it in Napa when I was living in California, and I don't like it here. And I understand wine tastes good. Sometimes, Alan, you drink wine sometimes, maybe?
Oh, very occasionally. I'm more of a beer and whiskey guy, but yeah. wino used to be a bad term, but the folks around here aren't drinking Mad Dog and crap like that.
Right.
That's way too pedestrian for them.
Yeah. So anyway, so we're doing the whatever. Andy's hanging out. He's hanging out at a little resort a couple miles away from my house. I'll see him in a little bit. But I picked him up over at Alan's house, and we drove to a place called Burney. Now, Burney, Texas is, I don't know, probably 20,000, 30,000 people, maybe 40,000. I'm not too sure of its numbers. Maybe it has a million. But they have big restaurants and big, and they have lots of houses and bad traffic and all sorts of things. You know, what you generally speak of when you get to a bigger city.
A lot of gated communities, I'm sure.
A lot of gated communities. And the reason for the jaunt was there was this guy, his name's Dave Krieger, and he does the radio show called The Power Hour, right? And, I've been listening to The Power Hour since, 2008. I guess I'm a late comer, but I'd listened to The Power Hour on and off from all of its hosts. So now all of a sudden, it was fascinating a couple years back when we found out that the new host of the Power Hour was a guy named Dave Krieger. and Ellen's telling me, he's like, yeah, Dave Krieger's in the neighborhood. I said, what the hell, really? Now the Power Hour host is in the... And Dave Krieger's interesting. He's not any of the other people, right? But he's his own person, and it's a good show. Right, Ellen? I mean, I've enjoyed it.
I rather enjoy him, it's not Joyce who was there forever, a lover or hater, did a lot of good, and Dave's doing the same thing. He's a very energetic person, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, we've had him on the show, for our longtime listeners. You've heard him come on here again. Maybe one of these days we'll drag him in. In fact, I don't see a method right now of not having him back on in the next 90 days, and we'll get into that as we go. But anyways, so we go down to this place called Burney. Now, I guess Dave was having a problem. Dave Krieger was having a problem in Bull Verde because he didn't have any venues that would support a Texas Independence type format right now. Y'all remember Ron Paul? Ron Paul meetups and things like that, and how all of a sudden 2006 through 2008, in the case of Fredericksburg, they lasted till around 2010, maybe 2011, somewhere around there, even after he, turned his back on everybody. But whatever. It's kind of like, Alan, me and Andy went to one here in Fredericksburg, and there was a crowd. Right. And I was surprised it wasn't two people and their dog. Right. Even though dogs are great. Right.
I could have brought my dog.
I think that's no, you couldn't. There was a barbecue joint. Okay. They don't allow that. There's only certain places in Fredericksburg that allow dogs. And, I don't know. Seems like those lefties get to bring their dogs everywhere, Alan. You see them
carry them around in their purses and everything. And that's not really a dog.
it's hilarious.
Dog. Genetically, but,
I know. A couple weeks back, I think I told you guys there was an alarm that happened in our food store, grocery store, when somebody's yap yap dog took a bloop, smart toilet offering, put it on the floor, and the guy walks away, and I see him walking away, and people are all, alert, alert, quick, get somebody over
clean
here.
Clean up in aisle four. Don't clean up in aisle
clean
four.
Clean up in aisle four. It's like, oh, crap. Yeah, literally. The dog took a doo-doo. And, I'm getting sidetracked. But anyways, the Ron Paul days, you could go into one of these meetings and you'd see people with like-minded interests, like personal responsibility, independence, freedom, free speech, whatever. Ron Paul covered a whole list of different things. And I noticed that when we went to that the Texas Nationals meetup here in Fredericksburg. Didn't you notice that? It was kind of more skewed that direction. Did I get that wrong, Alan?
Yeah, people that are seeing things beginning, they're beginning to see things going wrong. They're trying to latch on. Don't quite understand the real depth of the problem yet, is what I kind of saw. But go ahead.
No. That doesn't mean that they're not good people.
You know, trying. You know, but most of what I saw were the beginning phases of becoming aware of what is really happening in this country.
Like I said, it was a lot like the Ron Paul movement.
Yeah.
Remember, we didn't necessarily agree with all those wackadoos, right? Yeah. And there was a lot of schisms in there, right? But it was the beginning of something. Now, the difference between what's going on right now, and we're going to talk about this throughout the show, I hope, what's going on right now in Texas, right, with Texas independence movement, and what's going on with the Texas Nationals. It's been a movement that has been started. It was started back in the 90s in the original formation, and we'll get into that. And then that went wrong. And it's been continuing, and it's a buildup. But right now it's being pushed by the Texas Nationals, and they have a goal. Right. And they're doing a pretty dang good job from what I can see. And so we'll watch it. And it's going to be a hot subject for the next at least 90 days. And then it could go, I don't know. Texas independence is just going. So anyway, so we wanted to talk a little bit about the trip to Bernie. Right. So we get in the car and we drive over to Bernie and find this barbecue joint. And it's a 2-story barbecue joint. And there's all sorts of people with barbecue and so forth. And interesting that they actually had a pretty good staff. Right. They were they had a lot of people working, and the prices were today's prices. You know, it's barbecue, and well, it's not really barbecue, it's hamburgers and that kind of food and so forth. But everybody that was working there was actually probably around 20 years old, which is, well, kind of, at least they're working, right, Alan? You're like, okay, here you go.
At least they're working and not wanting to become a YouTube millionaire, yeah.
God, you can get me sideways on that one. I watched 2 movies about podcasters last night. I couldn't believe that they made movies about people that make podcasts. And oh my God, am I offended? No, I don't care. It's all nonsense. But when we got there, we went ahead and ordered our stuff and sat down outside. Well, I sat down. Andy didn't want to sit down. He'd been on his butt for too long. And so he just walked around and we're like, I wonder where these guys are. And there's where we were sitting down, there were some Texas National signs. So we figured that sooner or later we'd find somebody around there. And this guy starts walking down these stairs, and a tall guy, right? And he has a Texas National thingamajiggy on his pocket. And he goes, hello. And then Andy's all, and you must be Dave Krieger. I can tell by your voice. Right? I'm like, oh yeah. One word. Is that all it takes? I guess so. When you hear the person on the radio so often. And we sat there and we talked for a minute, and you know, it was all good. And we went ahead and went back up to the thing and got our food. And oh, maybe that's too much detail, but maybe not. Hang on, we'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio. You said it's in my head. I can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. What is it for?
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Congress is planning to give the Pentagon a raise. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I am all for the United States having the largest, most expensive military on the planet, but the Pentagon has failed their financial audits 5 years in a row. In the most recent audit, the U.S. military cannot account for over $2 trillion in assets. Maybe the military needs to spend less time trying to understand white rage and trying to force an experimental vaccine on the healthiest people around and start focusing on protecting our nation and her assets. $2 trillion in lost assets is worth investigating. People need to be fired. I say no more budget increases until the Department of Defense fixes their accounting. If you and I failed 5 consecutive audits, we'd be in federal prison. Just like the rest of government, the Pentagon needs to remember that money and those assets belong to we the people. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I was talking about a trip that Andy from Texas, Andy formerly from Ohio, he was only in Ohio for a minute, but we call him Andy in Texas. Andy Wilson, whatever. We went to see Dave Krieger because it's always neat to see these voices that you've heard for a long time and meet the person in the person. Remember when I saw Ron Paul? Wow, that changed everything, right? When you look into a man's eyes and you see a deep nothing, oh, crap. Well, I don't know. You know, I'll reserve judgment for that for a later day, but it was interesting when Ron Paul dropped us. And who is a Ron Paul? Anyways, maybe you guys all know him. But anyways, when you see a person and you look into their eyes, you can get a little bit more and you see how a person interacts with different people. That's an awful lot and so forth. And it was just fascinating. You know, it's kind of trouble, right? You know, a serious organization like the Texas Nationals is affiliated with Dave Krieger of the Power Hour. They're very serious. Well, I guess so is Dave Krieger, but he goes all over the place, right? If you listen to his show, you can go from the Hollow Earth. He's kind of like us to a certain extent, and I'm not saying that we're like him, right? But we can go all over the place. So, Alan, while we're sitting in there, right, we've got this room full of people. They were pushing around 20-something people at the height of the entire show. They had merged two groups of individuals, the Bull Verde group, which seemed to be underrepresented there because, well, the venue shift and they have to drive to go you go to the meeting and it's first time. We'll see.
Bull Verde is about 15 minutes away from Bernie, looks like, on the map.
Yeah, is that what it is?
It's pretty close.
I know it's, yeah. Well, I guess that's not too far. I drive 15 minutes to get to the Fredericksburg thingamajiggy. You know, I don't have to drive much, but, you know, I don't know, right? But Alan, the topics that we were talking about before the show, before the Texas National show, because they do treat these as venues for the Texas Nationals, and rightfully so, because what they are doing is supporting the Texas independence movement the way the Texas Nationals have been pushing it for years. So that's on topic. The part that scares me is when I go representing them, I can go everywhere to Middle Earth, Flat Earth, whatever, you know, we're going all over. And sometimes that dilutes the point of the meeting. But it was fun hearing Dave talk and just wondering what everybody else in the audience actually thought about what was being said, right? And they, but, you know, we were having a private conversation during the during the actual event. We talked about Texas independence and the different directions or the direction that the Texas Nationals organization is going. So, but it was neat, you know. Oh, by the way, Dave says hi, Alan. Maybe I didn't tell you that yet.
Well, I'll talk to him again. Like I said, I've got his cell phone number.
Yeah. So it was really good, and I saw I got to talk a little bit about Texas independence, and one of the reasons, well, I like the Texas Nationals because they actually push for Texas independence, right? You know, they're one of several groups in the last 20, 25 years that have been, you know, trying to do such, and they probably moved the ball, you know, might be on the backs of others, right, to some extent, but, you know, I don't want to take credit away from them either, you know, but who cares? Let's just talk about,
well, they do have a larger internet presence, and apparently, you know, have some of the younger people, you know, that are getting interested in this, you know, unlike, you know, unfortunately, the Republic of Texas really is kind of a group of old farts, you know, that have been around and trying this for a long time, you know, that don't have a big internet presence, and you know, God bless them, you know, at least they're trying to do something, you know, anything that can be done, you know, if that's your avenue towards trying to, you know, make people aware and awake to what's really going on, I say more power to you.
Yeah, definitely. The God, what was it? So when we go back, you know, if we were to start discussing this, let me tell you a little bit about Texas independence movement. And that's one of the things that some of these groups don't want to talk about too much, because they want to talk about what they're focused on. Alan just brought up the folks from the Republic of Texas. They exist today. TheTexasRepublic.com. Now, their position is that back in 2005, they reassembled the government of the Republic of Texas. So they did this by re-adjourning the legislative session that was never closed. They just restarted it. And there was a closure that happened and blah, 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 technical whatevers. And we could get into that and so forth. But it did happen. Right. And back in 2005, I think it was 2005. I'd have to check my notes, but I'm not going to do that for this purpose. And they've been carrying on. And, you know, Alan and I heard about this, right? A friend of ours was part of those folks, and or is. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about
it. Man.
Well, he was the president at one time, yes. And that is definitely true. And, well, am I getting ahead of myself? Yes, because he wasn't the first cart, right? The first cart that was going on is still being written about today. I find that fascinating, right? And that really kind of shows where Texas independence is. Right? There's a guy, and I know y'all know his name, or at least a lot of you know his name. His name's Richard McLaren. Yep. Here's the break. We'll talk a little bit about the old Republic of Texas and independence in, well, the 1990s. Remember way back then? Hang on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Republic of Texas Radio. Today we're talking a little bit about Texas independence, right? Because, well, it's going to be a hot topic for the next 90 days or so. And then after that, we'll see, right? We'll see where we're going, right? There's another push for Texas independence, and there's a groundswell. And like before the break, I was starting to talk about the 1990s. And Texas independence in the 90s was, it was a crazy time, they tell me, because I only have this from, well, firsthand testimonies of people that were there and people that told me what they were about. And there were different people. But you've heard the stories too, Alan, from different folks. Maybe you can correct me.
They were kind of the what they did to the Republic of Texas guys back then. You know, the raids and everything and the imprisonments. That was part of that whole 90s thing, kind of like Randy Weaver, you know, and various other things that happened back then, trying to quash these movements with infiltration and, and then putting out, the public image of what happened and how crazy these people were, trying to quash and quell any resistance that was beginning to build and gain some prominence, yes.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. You know, they Rick McLaren, right? Now, there's a lot said about demonizing Rick McLaren, and, hey, maybe rightfully so, I don't know. But along his route, he was kind of what we call a paper warrior. Maybe they coined that term, right? You know, it's akin to today's... But I can't say sovereign citizen. I don't know what the hell I want to say, but it was something like that. Well, dot your T and cross your I and put this over here and there, and then they give you money, right? I don't really know. I think that was kind of his shtick, right? But I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't playing his game with him, or I wasn't him. But there was another aspect to the Republic of Texas in the days of yore. They actually were one of the first groups, the 90s Republic of Texas, to assert the fact that, well, there was something wrong with how the Republic of Texas of the 1800s left being a sovereign nation and joined the United States, right? There was a problem in procedure that happened. And you go, okay, that's over 100 years, dude. What you talking about, right? You know, just because of a procedural thing. And you go, but okay, I thought we were talking the truth here, right? And okay, right?
Well, Steve, kind of like, the phrase, remember the Alamo, and you pulled it down off the internet for me and printed out some stuff on who the people at the Alamo really were. Where they came from, if they would have stayed in their states, they probably would have been in jail because most of them were scoundrels and horse thieves and grifters of some type. But go ahead.
I know. I mean, yeah, and it's kind of tough.
People went back and did heraldries and actually looked at who these people were that were there just fighting for the freedom of Texas. It's like, no, it's like they were there for a purpose. They were there for gain. I'm sorry to say that, but we've been fed a big illusion, folks. Go ahead.
That's true. But, what are you going to do with that, Alan? You know, you're sitting there going that Sam Houston was really out to make a whole bunch of money in land. Is that wrong? Right. But we don't know exactly what was going on. And Sam Houston's great retreat. Right, okay, and I'm talking about Texas history, and I'm not from Texas. Does that even matter? Well, what matters is it happened, right? Did it happen? Did two Masons chase each other around in the woods, and one Mason caught the other Mason and let the other Mason go and said, give me a chunk of land, and we're going to call it a country? And he says, sure, dude, you got me. Right, because that's what did happen on the fucking, I'm sorry, excuse my language, on the cursory thing. You had Mexico Mason, Santa Anna, was chasing, why am I
playing chess games? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, so where do we get distracted? We get distracted all over the place, yeah, right? Yeah. John McLaren, he had a standoff, right, in the mountains and in the Davis Mountains, but he was being a clown at the time, and the folks from the Republic of Texas, I've had several eyewitnesses saying that they were already, tired of him because he was playing these paper games and with the, what do we call those guys? United States of America. It's the corporate United States of America, you know, playing their little legal games. And they're like, dude, you got to stop this.
All you got to say is UCC 134-A, Section A1-3. And you didn't follow it, so you can't legally be here, and we're free again. You know?
So the Republic of Texas back in those days, from what I was told, was what, dragging hundreds of people around, right? You know, maybe even more. You know, they'd have meetings, and there would be a lot of people. A lot of people drove a long ways, and they were very inspired. And it kind of reminds me of what we now consider the January 6th days, right? Where all of a sudden everybody's all, we got to. Okay, everybody get on a plane. They stole the vote, right? Stop the steal. Here, let's go to Washington. Protest. Donald Trump, protest.
Or Steve, on a smaller scale, the Valentine's Day raid on the Republic of Texas meeting that happened. Was that? We actually, a friend of ours was part of that, and he ended up spending a few days in jail. And all the guys in jail were saying, it's like, you killed someone, didn't you? And it's like, no. He said, I filed some paperwork and put my initials on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a... Yeah, that was the second Republic of Texas, what I'd kind of call that. That was in 2015, I think, 2014 maybe. And what happened is there was a lady in another county close to Alan and I, right? And, you know, I don't know what she's gotten, but she contacted me several years ago and asked me to delete all my references on my shows to her because she's having a hard time getting a job or something like that. So I won't say her name. Whatever, it's a matter of public record, but I don't care. So she was trying to seek a redress of grievance through the Republic of Texas, circa means the year of the Republic of Texas of 2005, right? That continues to this day. And from the way that I know the story, she went to a common law court that the Republic of Texas put together. And this common law court was you get together and you say, well, I got this problem. They go, okay, we're going to fix it. Do you agree? And so they put together a note, right? Because she was being foreclosed on by this and that, and long story, right? And so the judge was presiding over the foreclosure. They sent a letter to the judge. Allegedly they were supposed to have been asking him to appear, and the person that sent the letter changed it to demand. And then, well, they got offended, right? Judge sent a multi-jurisdictional task force in on them on Valentine's Day, and they all arrived, and they took papers, right? They left the guns, but they took the papers, and eventually they did take away, you know, two people involved in the situation, the judge and the common law judge, and what do you call it, the defendant or one of the persons in the thing. And it was quite a thing that we went through. Alan and I sat through the trials of those two over in Kerr County, and we learned a lot there.
That's one where I heard the judge straight out say, Miss Jimmy Joe Fred Jane, it's like, if you attempt to defend yourself, you will spend a year in jail. But don't
worry. Right. Well, it's also the one that you heard the lady say, what kind of court is this? And the judge said,
Is this a common law or a statutory court? The judge thought for a minute, and he goes, it's a statutory court. And that's when I made some movement. I wanted to write down what time in the trial. And this is the one where folks, you know, the vaunted court record reflected that the defendant said that this is a statutory court.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the judge admitted that it was a statutory court, but and this, like I said, this was not a jaywalking ticket. You know, there was an actual prosecutor from the state attorney general's office there. Happened to be Lance Kutnick, and he is of the Jewish origin. So yeah, but go on.
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating. We had like two rows in the back seat, all packed with various degrees of, well, government people. Who knows who the heck they were, right? But they were interested because, well, this is landmark. They were going after him with a law that was actually put on the books after the Richard McLaren Republic of Texas hostage taking, I guess it was, back in the 90s. At least that's what they say it was, right? But they put it down. It was the paper warrior law, and they'd never gone after anybody with this one, right? So, but now here in Texas, they have standing, right? It would be, I'm not going to give a case law out. You know, it's probably irrelevant, and I'd probably botch it. So I'm not going to do that. But it was all tied together. So the 90s one, and then that hit the 2005, that was somewhere down in 2014 or something like that. But it's a different organization from Texas Independence right now, right? The group went on to, how was that? So as their judge and their other, she was a government official of the Republic of Texas, were fighting in another country's legal system. They were busy writing letters to the United Nations. Like, what? It's like, okay, well, these people are embattled, right, and with another nation, and they did support them. I get it, right? But it seemed the whole focus was to get a United Nations provocateur. What was that word that they used?
They wanted some kind of recognition by some type of official body. I our friend was the president at that point in time, and I remember asking him personally. I said, "Do y'all not understand that's like being a mouse? Trapped in a mouse trap. You know, only got one leg, didn't get crushed." That's like asking a cat that's walking by. It's like, oh, sir, could you please get me out of this trap? Well, the cat's going to sit there, and he's going to go, well, of course I'll let you out of that trap. It's no fun playing with a mouse that's in a trap. I said, don't you guys understand that going to the United Nations for anything is worse than being in the damn trap itself? You know,
and that's an opinion, but I share that opinion, right? You know, but it was just kind of odd. I thought they would try to go some other route, but then I'm not. That's not me. And they didn't trust me. They didn't trust you, Alan. They didn't care. They, you know, had their own direction, and they still do. I don't know what they're doing right now, but I love them, and I do feel Texas independence is a good idea, right? And that doesn't mean that I support anybody, really, right? But I guess I agree sometimes. Okay.
No, they're doing things in their own way, and like I said, you know, more power to them. You know, that's not the way that I choose. But you know, if someone putting some kind of opposition up to this freaking nightmare that we're in, I choose not to expend my energy that way. But if that's what they feel like doing, like I said, more power to them. You know.
Yeah, we'll probably carry on a little bit more about the Republic of Texas, you know, or Texas independence. The Texas National, well, I don't care what you call it.
And maybe we'll finish the meeting the other night sometime here, huh, Steve? I know we get twisted off in different directions.
I'm not too sure how much it needs finishing. I can go over a little bit more in details, right? Because, you know, like I said,
it was COG. You said there was about 20 people there. That's about what we had in Fredericksburg here.
Yeah, definitely. I think that we had more people, but it was an odd night, you know. How often does Jerry Farley, Alan Crutcher, and Steve O'Brien show up at a gig?
Yeah.
It happens.
Most of them probably would have preferred we weren't there because I was my usual self. I was not just real positive, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, and to a certain extent,
the one person I did love there, Steve, was that woman that was seated behind me. when the one lady got up who'd been a 30-year school teacher, and she was talking about all this stuff, and she said, "We need to write letters to the paper and all this stuff." And this woman behind me started laughing. I turned around to her and I said, "Thank you, ma'am."
Yeah, that's why sometimes I want to stay away from those venues, because I feel like I can hamper those people's growth by
I know
what, being too jaded. And then I'm sitting there thinking I'm jaded and asking Jerry Farley a question, right? And then he's gone, he's full on jade. I'm like, oh, crap, you have no positive input, shut up. No, I wouldn't say that to him, but you know, his view of Texas independence, it'll never happen. Well, yeah, that's exactly why you should stay home, Jerry.
Yet he's in the middle of every political
everything
thing that goes on in this
everything
city. He is a major pain in their ass, which, God bless you, Jerry, if you're listening, you are a major pain in the ass around here.
Jerry Farley, wonderful individual, has been talking to him since the 90s about all the crazy stuff. Mike in Kentucky, hang on, we'll go to you next and see where you want to go. Republic of Texas Radio.
Both our best intentions, I was shy to pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. We can run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. We're missing for the sun.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radios. Let's quickly get to the phones because I know Mike has other engagements coming up. So, Mike in Kentucky, come on.
Can you hear me now? Over.
Testing 1-2 over. Over, Roger.
4 over.
Under, done.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no point.
I hear you.
Those Zucker brother jokes, man, just machine gun out. You go back and watch those and you realize, hey, I missed that one the last time I saw them. Those movies are sad. They're just worse than Blazing Saddles. But no, I was listening to For the People Radio, I think it was, and learned about shortwave. And then, I don't know, somehow I found out about a Lexington, Kentucky meeting when I was working down there called Cancelatora. And we got talking to this guy that was a paralegal, and he found out I had video production skills and stuff like that, and I got hooked in with Concerned Citizens for Kentucky and Take Back Kentucky, and I met some of the guys that were in the Kentucky State Militia, and all of them organizations got infiltrated and divided and conquered. Now, sometimes they set somebody up in the leaderships. In the case of the, I didn't go to any militia meetings. I was hired to film one video called UN Man in the Biosphere, you know, and this perpetual candidate, Gatewood Galbraith, was always trying to get in front of a camera like Jesse Jackson. So he introed it.
I almost bet that that's when your trouble started with the television station, shortly thereafter.
Yeah, it was after. I met this group of people before this fellow that I'd known in the early 90s saw me in a gas station. Hey, what are you doing? Can you help us out? Go see this white-haired guy. And I was like, yeah, you know, I became the highest hourly paid guy at a fitness shop that I worked at. And so I became a target of management that was wanting to reduce, you know, they can increase their performance commission by cutting labor costs. And I had already asked for some material data safety sheets because I developed a hand rash and, you know, the cliche thing about, oh, you can mix that up in your kitchen sink. When this new owner came, he's changed everything around in what we were using to in-house Schwinn products, you know, and I started getting rashes on my hands. Anyway, I made a problem there at work, so I became a target eventually. And so, like, within 2 or 3 months, I ran into this guy at random. It was a pretty low spot in my life, too. And so I said, yeah, I jumped at the opportunity. And then in conversations with this paralegal guy, I told him that. And, boy, he had his people all like enthusiastic about getting on cable TV, you know. So the goal was to mass produce these and bicycle them out, as they say, to cable systems in Arkansas and Indiana and Kentucky, wherever there's public access. And this Norm Davis, that headed up Take Back Kentucky, was a cattleman, and it was all because of the Clinton. 8 years of Clinton, man, they were targeting, they were doing all this environmental stuff to restrict land use and Heritage Rivers initiatives and presidential proclamations. They, you know, they had all these different executive mechanisms besides executive
order. All right, hang on, Mike. You know, the music is playing in the background, so we're going to be right back. If you've got a few minutes at the top of the hour, we'll bring you back.
Oh, today I'm free.
All right, Republican Texas Radio.
Unity and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because
you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.